Welcome to the SB Live California podcast here with Lance Smith and Bodie Da Silva. As always, I'm Connor Morissette. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and much more. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite team with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country. It's your number one source for California high school sports fans, with coverage from Lance Smith, Bodie Da Silva, and me, Connor Morissette. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, gentlemen, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it all, how are you doing? Bodie, how are things in San Diego? How are you?
Yeah, very good. We got baseball playoffs starting today, basketball's semifinals. It's all happening, so.
It's nuts. Lance, how are you doing?
It's good. I am so pumped for the championships this week, all of them.
Yeah, me too. And I'll get into my schedule, and we can talk about everyone's schedule in a little bit. I know maybe we're still up in the air with some things, but there are some games I know I'll be going to. I would like to start the show with this today. I have a take. It's been a while since I've had a really hardcore take to start the show, so here we go. I want to give the Southern Section a lot of credit for implementing the round robin with their 8-team open division basketball tournament, and here's why. Corona Centennial, their best player is Kylan Boswell. He missed their first game because he had a Team USA commitment. Corona Centennial lost. In any other postseason, you lose your best player, you lose a game, you're out, and that's that. If it was a regular 8-team tournament and winner goes on to the semis and the championship, they would have lost in the quarterfinals. But the Southern Section is all about competitive equity and finding the best true team out of those two pools. And so by doing the round robin, Corona Centennial, they lost that first game, but they were still alive. And I like that a lot. I like that you can lose one and still have a shot. And I think we saw the system work as best as it possibly could when Centennial overcame that loss. Boswell came back. They won their last two games. They got a little help from Damian beating Harvard Westlake to advance to the championship. But I thought that was huge because in a normal year, Team USA wouldn't be having an event during the basketball season. But say there was an injury or something, it was just really nice to see the best team in that pool still be alive after dropping their first game, and now they go on to play undefeated Sierra Canyon in the championship. I think we really do get the two best teams in the Southern Section in this title game, and I think a lot of people were concerned with the round-robin format. You wouldn't get those two best teams in a lot of years, but the system worked really well this year. It was perfect, and I think it worked well last year, too, with Sierra Canyon and Mater Dei. Those two teams were deserving, and they made it, and then you get a second chance in the state playoffs. That's what we saw with Etiwanda. So I just wanted to give them credit because in any other instance, you lose your best player for a game, you lose the playoff game, you're all done. I like that the Southern Section thought this really through, and they, if you drop one game, you're still alive, because I think that is how you determine the true two best teams to get through. So I wanted to give them some credit for that. And sometimes it even sets up de facto semifinal games like we saw with Sierra Canyon and Etiwanda last week, so sometimes you still do get that semifinal game. But that's how I wanted to start. And Lance, do you have any thoughts on how that's gone on the girls' side? I think it's worked well there too.
100%. But last year was the first year of the pool play?
Yep.
Well, so when the girls had set up another de facto semifinal, number two, Mater Dei versus number three, Harvard Westlake.
Yeah, that was a good game.
So that was it. That was a good game. Extra fun with all the stakes on the line. Here's another example of something good that comes from the pool play. So let's look at Etiwanda, who was clear top three team in the state and unbeaten up until a few weeks ago. They lose their two best players for the rest of the season, or two of their three best players at least for the rest of the season. Last game of the regular season, they lose by 17 against Linwood, starting, I think, three freshmen and a sophomore. So then, in the pool play, they lose by single digits to Mater Dei, again, missing two of their three best players, lose by only 10 to Harvard Westlake, and they come back in the third game to beat Linwood, who beat them in overtime only a couple weeks prior. And Now that doesn't mean, you know, a championship. Okay, it's like, great, that's a 1-2 run. But even though that's not a gold medal news, that's still a fantastic, exciting occurrence that, and of course, leading up into state as well, that you only get from the pool play. So not only does it give teams a real chance to show that even one game aside, they might still be deserving of the finals, but it sets up a lot of other cool things like that.
Yeah, and I liken it to the group stage in World Cup play in soccer. All those games, except there was one TV game on Friday that was pushed back, and that was Sierra Kane and Etiwanda, but that had no bearing on the other pool. In the other pool, the two games were played at the same time. So what was crazy was you saw Damien pull off this huge comeback win against Harvard-Westlake, and then in real time, Corona Centennial, they're killing Modern Day, but they check their phones after and they say, oh, Damien pulled it off. We're going to the championship. And you see stuff like that at the World Cup where everyone in the group stage plays their games at the same time, and then you never really know if you made it or not until afterwards and you can check the score. So I like that part of it. Bodie, let's check in with you. Let's just give us the landscape in San Diego. It looks like Torrey Pines is still that team to beat in basketball. The baseball playoffs are going on. How are things going with you down there?
Yeah, so basketball, we're getting closer here. So open division, one of the semifinals got moved up tonight due to a graduation. So San Marcos, who's still undefeated, they are going to travel on the road to Cathedral Catholic, a matchup that did not happen during the season, but one that everyone's really looking forward to. I'm really excited to be at this game tonight. I think really a difference in styles of Cathedral's got some bigs inside. They're going to play in a zone where San Marcos want to play fast. They're going to try and trap you. They've got as good of a junior guard as there is out here in Devon Arlington. So that's one of the games I'm really looking forward to. And then tomorrow night will be the second semifinal. Torrey Pines undefeated as well, like San Marcos. They'll be hosting St. Augustine. So we got a public versus private in each of those, which is great for the open division there. And even in the other divisions there, Division One, you got Bonita Vista taking on Modern Day Catholic. That's another league game. They played twice during the year and split. So that's one that should be a good one. And then La Costa Canyon, who was the 7th seed, won by 3 in the first round and then carried it over, won by 20 in the second round. So they'll be at Mission Bay tonight. That's one of the other semis. That's another really loaded bracket. Then in Division Two, Wayne McKinney and Coronado, they're moving along. They got Canyon Crest tonight to try and make it in. And then we got baseball starting today, and that open division is really loaded. A team, Eastlake, who has maybe the number one pick in the whole baseball draft, Marcelo Mayer, they just snuck in. They got the 8th seed, and I'm sure that was not what San Marcos wanted to see, being the 1 seed on the other side. Good even luck. Though, unlike the other divisions, the entire bracket is double elimination. But it's one of those things where if you lose today, you're like, we worked our whole year and we're one game away, even maybe being the home team. So those get going, that'll be some really, really good games there. And like we've talked about, just seeing which of these teams can advance into state brackets and play, whether it's Southern Section, City Section teams. I'm excited for those guys to get their chance, because in baseball, that's something we haven't seen before.
Awesome. Thank you. On Friday, the Southern Section Basketball Championship, it's going to be, like I said earlier, Corona Centennial at Sierra Canyon. And two takes for the price of one today for me. I think Corona Centennial is going to give Sierra Canyon their first loss. And I think it all has to do with Corona Centennial's defense. I think Sierra Canyon, I know they pride themselves on their defense and it's gotten better, but they did not play very good defense against Etiwanda, and it almost cost them. Etiwanda took a lead with under 2 minutes to go, and then, of course, Sierra Canyon, with their great offensive firepower, ended up winning the game. I think they finished on like a 7 or 8-0 run. But I think Corona Centennial can score with Sierra Canyon well enough to hang around, and then I think their defense is going to lead them to the promised land, and that's my pick. I think Sierra Canyon defensively has had some issues this year, and I don't know if that's just limited practice time and a lot of new faces, but I think that's just how I see that game going. So that is an upset. I am putting myself out there a little bit. If Sierra Canyon wins, feel free to, you know, blab me and tell me I was wrong. So that's the best part of the job. But that's how I feel. Lance, you have a massive open division, undefeated two-team championship coming up on Thursday. Talk to me a little bit about how you see that game going on the girls' side.
Well, I think this is the most hyped I've ever been for a specific playoff game. I mean, you have two Titans who are in the mix for obviously state title, but certainly national title, depending on how national titles get decided in basketball this season. Two teams that are as good as it gets. Modern Day, obviously the reigning section champ in the open division. The bit they have one thing that Centennial has nothing of, which is size. Modern Day is without their starting center, Maile Imosa, and that's a huge loss, but they've been without her for a bit now. So they're getting used to what that's like. And even without her, they are bigger. They have, I want to say, six or seven players. Like, of their six or seven top rotation players, I think five of them are taller than any player Centennial has in their rotation. So that's basically the big thing there. And, of course, Modern Day is still, you know, just because they're big, they're not slow. They're ridiculously skilled. I'm going to be very curious to see Centennial's game plan for Brooke Dimitri, who, of course, is 6'3", but, you know, a wing with every perimeter skill in the book. And then as far as Centennial goes, they're going to try to turn it into a shootout. They've given so many teams 100 points this season, and teams know what they're going to do. They have the unreal backcourt of London Jones and Jada Curry, and then some other good players on their team. They're not nearly as depth as Modern Day, so, you know, one person as deep. So one person having an off night, or one person gets a little banged up, takes a hard fall, that could be the difference for them. But I think if Centennial can really turn this into a fast breaking, just play it at their speed, then I give them the edge. If Modern Day can control the pace a little bit, I just think they match up too well, because they can put length on Centennial without losing quickness. So this is essentially a toss up to me, just because the playoffs tend to lead to lower scoring games. It's such a cliche at this point that doesn't even prove true much more than half the time. That would be a reason to think Modern Day has an edge in this. Of course, Centennial has been on such a fast rise the last few years. They don't have the tenure of playing at this level, but that doesn't mean they're not ready for the big lights. So that's just an incredibly exciting game. And Division One in the Southern section is going to be Long Beach Poly versus Esperanza. Poly blew out Fairmont Prep yesterday, really gave it to them, and looked like that if they played the second and third quarter of that game the way they play every single game, then I think they would be a top three or four team in the open division, and probably should have been in the open division. They've been the favorite in Division One the whole time, even though there were a ton of favorites and a ton of teams that had what it takes to at least be in the mix. But they're going to come into the Esperanza game double-digit favorite, I would say. But I'm not counting Esperanza out just because they've done so many miraculous three straight miracle wins in a row. And they deserve all the credit for that. In Southern Section 2AA, it's pretty much what was expected. After Cajon beat Viewpoint, I basically penciled Cajon into the finals, and Alameny was the clear best team on the other side of the bracket. So I don't know who the favorite would be there, but that's about what was expected. 2A, it's going to be Paloma Valley versus Eisenhower. Both teams had good playoff runs last year, and that's another one where I don't think anyone's surprised to see them. And in 3AA, not too surprising, Ontario Christian, who's led by Chloe Briggs, who is a five-star sophomore, can kind of play any position, averages something like 32 and 10. They're going to play the winner of La Quinta and Sage Hill tonight. I'm taking Sage Hill, and that one was led by Isabel Gomez, who's one of the best guards in Orange County, and a junior too, so she'll be back next year. So I'm going to take Sage Hill against La Quinta, and I'm going to say in the finals against Ontario Christian, it's a toss-up. I don't know Ontario Christian very well, but that's kind of the lay of the land for the top five or six divisions in the Southern section, and we could talk about City section now or later. I'll let you call that.
Sure, I can start quickly. Open division semifinals on the boys' side. I think that Westchester King Drew game is going to be a really, really good one. That's on Wednesday night. Unfortunately, I'm going to be at Los Altos against Rolling Hills Prep in the 2AA championship. it's a shame that the city section is just a little bit behind right now, the southern section, because every time there's a championship game in the southern section, it seems like there's a big city game, but it's not quite as big as a championship. But I'll be at the city title game on Saturday, so whether it's Westchester, King Drew, Fairfax, or Birmingham, I think Birmingham is going to be Fairfax, and then that King Drew-Westchester game I think is a toss-up. I know Lloyd Webster had probably the best team he's ever had at King Drew last year, and Westchester knocked them out in the semis, so he will have some real motivation to beat Westchester this time around. I think that's going to be a great game, and I think the winner of that game, I don't know. Birmingham is really good, too. I don't know if I'm ready to pick a champion right now without knowing the matchup, but I really do. Whoever wins that game, Westchester against King Drew, I think will have a great shot at a championship. And then Division One, I saw Chatsworth beat Pauley last week. They're the one seed, so they're looking good. We'll see as those lower divisions start to churn out what top teams emerge, so looking forward to that. Lance, let's do a little 60-second here, girls basketball city section breakdown.
I don't think anyone's surprised who's in the semifinals. It's the top four seeds in the open division. Palisades, obviously, number one. They play Elko tomorrow. Elko's a good team, but I'm not giving them much of a chance here, even though they are a very good team. Palisades is just that good. And then on the other side, two versus three, I'll be there. I figured this would be a semifinal matchup going back to the end of last season, so I'm pumped for this. Birmingham versus Hamilton. And so that's the open division. Division one kind of also going as expected. We have Laces, the heavy favorite, playing Taft in the semis, and then King Drew and Marshall. King Drew was a Division I semifinalist last year as well. Marshall was the Division II runner-up, lost narrowly to Laces in that championship game. And then in Division II, I've been liking San Pedro the whole time, and I'm going to keep rolling with them. And I think that game is 3:30 on Friday or Saturday. One of the two, I'm blanking, but I'll be there. And I'm taking San Pedro all the way.
Bodie, what does your schedule look like this week? Is it still up in the air? Have you been able to finalize? I know you mentioned some stuff earlier in the week, but what does the rest of the week look like?
Yeah, so for the most part, I will be at San Marcos Cathedral Catholic. The boys open tonight. And then on Wednesday, I'm looking to get to a baseball game. Still undecided because there's a lot of good choices and everyone has to play on the same day. So, and all of them at 3:30. Then on Thursday, I will be at the, let's see, I'll pull this one up again. Thursday, I'll be at the D3 Boys Basketball Championship. That's at St. Augustine at night. Then at Friday, looking for hopefully another baseball, but we do have D2 Boys Basketball at 4:30. That one got moved up there. And then Saturday's full. We got D1 Boys and Girls and then Open Boys and Girls, and that's all in a row, 3 hours in between. So definitely a loaded Saturday. And then come Sunday, we'll find out the state bracket. So I'm always excited when that comes around. And even though it's just a regional thing this year, we'll still get the same number of teams down here. And I'm sure the brackets will look a little different with only eight teams in. They'll have to do maybe a D3 AA and things like we've seen in football in the past.
Do you have a prediction for the game tonight?
Yeah, you know what? I'll take San Marcos. They've been undefeated. The strength of schedule wasn't maybe what it should have been during the year. It was pretty good, and I think had it been one or two tougher games in there, then they would have helped themselves out and gotten the higher seed over Cathedral and would have hosted tonight's game. But I think they're super motivated. They were pissed that they did not get home court throughout, and I think we'll see a really big performance from their guards, and they'll shoot it well. So.
Lance, how about you? Where are you off to this week? We know about Thursday, the Southern Section Championship. What does the rest of your week look like?
Let's see. We have the city section. I intend to be at, I think it's Saturday, the open division and the division two, division two being at 3:30 and open division being at 7. So that's going to be a doubleheader. Up until, I think, yesterday, the girls open division was going to be on Friday.
Yeah.
And then the division one was going to be on Thursday. So I only found that out like maybe 16 hours ago. So that's why I'm a little disorganized, but I'll be at the open division one. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm pumped.
For me, baseball today, I think I'm going to go up to Hart High where they play Cerritos, two really good teams in D3 in the Southern section. But there are a million good games, so I might do a last-second changeup, but we'll see. Tomorrow, we got that Los Altos Rolling Hills Prep Championship game. City Section Baseball playoffs also start tomorrow. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get to a game, but later in the week I will. Friday, Sierra Canyon Centennial. I've made my pick there. I have Centennial. I'll go to a city baseball game before, and then Saturday, the Open Division City Basketball Championship. That will be a lot of fun. Let's wrap up with this. Top performers. I'll go first. I have Jack Crawford from MiraCosta. Even though he didn't score any goals, he assisted on some long throw-ins in the regional soccer championship in Division One. MiraCosta beat Birmingham on a golden goal, 4-3. It was one of the craziest soccer games I've ever seen. That was on Saturday. And the reason I want to shout out Jack Crawford, not only because of his really good play, but he also has ligament damage in his knee, and he played pretty much the whole game at right back, which is not where he usually plays. He's usually a center back, and he was moving a little slow, but he still really played really well despite this terrible injury. He went out on top, and then he had prom later that night, and he said, forget about my knee injury. I'm going to be dancing tonight. So I thought that was pretty funny. I wanted to give him a shout-out. MiraCosta, they only lost one game all year, and they're the SoCal D1 boys soccer regional champions. Very, very impressive. Lance, let's go to you. Top performer.
Well, I got a few on the basketball side. We were talking about Linwood earlier. They did go winless in pool play, but their last two games, Rhea Marshall, the All-American, she gave Modern Day 43 points and then gave Etiwanda 39 to cap it off. That's pretty impressive, even though they came up short. And those are two defenses that are, you know, they know how much they're going to be geared up on her. Rosary Academy had a disappointing exit in the semifinals, but Kaylee Bion, who I think I brought up last week, in their last two games, she had 36 points and 11 assists against, I think, Elisa Miguel. And then in the game they lost to Esperanza, 29 points, 10 rebounds, also very impressive. Speaking of Esperanza, Alyssa Kubo has been balling, one of the more underrated guards in the Southern Section, Hope International University commit, so she'll be right around the corner in Fullerton in 2 years. So she led the thrilling comeback against Sierra Canyon with 26 points, and she also led them in the game against Rosary with 17 points, really good passer as well. And then in the Modern Day game against Harvard Westlake, not too often that bench players come up huge in playoff games in the highest division. But Lonnie White, 16 points and 9 rebounds to lead Modern Day off the bench. So definitely a great bench performance. And yeah, I would say next week, my goal is to do 15 to 20, like 5 to 10 second softball player, sort of like state player of the year candidates. Maybe just 1 or 2 minutes a week for the next few weeks. I'm building up a master list, and you know, we haven't talked much softball because we haven't really been able to make it because basketball is overlapping. So I will do a very thorough rundown of a good few dozen softball player of the year candidates before this month is over on this podcast.
Yeah, I did have a couple baseball points. Maybe we can squeeze those in, Bodie, at the end. Top performers from you.
Yeah, I got three really good ones from down here this week. The first one, John Pearson from Canyon Crest, a guard, had 49 points in their first round win over East Lake, nearly outscored the other team by himself. And then they won their second round game, Canyon Crest, and the big opportunity down at Coronado tomorrow, taking on the Islanders that have Wayne McKinney and Alex Crawford, so two Division I players on that team. Then Sophia Mujica, a freshman at Granite Hills, pretty incredible. Already hit her 17th home run of the season, which ties the San Diego section record. So she did that as a freshman. I can only imagine what she's going to do these next few years, tying numbers like that already. And then the last one is Brett Pursley. Bring up some boys volleyball here. Outside hitter from Poway. He had 20 kills in the Open Division Championship. They took down Sage Creek to win that final this past weekend. And what a great year it was for boys volleyball down here. I know between Sage Creek, Poway, and Torrey Pines, the three of them were all nationally ranked throughout the year. So Poway gets it done there, and a huge game for the senior.
Awesome. Let me fit in baseball quickly because I did promise last week we'd talk more baseball, but here I am squeezing it in at the end. So sorry, baseball fans. Just quickly, I want to talk about pitching. So last week I saw MiraCosta beat Foothill, and they got four innings from their number two starter, saving UCLA commit Thatcher Hurd for the last three, and that allowed him to pitch today against number two seed, or I guess they're not technically number two seed, but one of those top seeded teams in the Southern Section in Orange Lutheran, and it's all about pitching. So if Miracosta and Thatcher Hurd can come out and he can deal, they might have a shot at upsetting a really great Orange Lutheran team, and it's just all about how you utilize the matchup. So I thought Keith Ramsey, the Miracosta coach, nailed how he had his matchup set up last week, because the starter for them only gave up two runs, and then they brought in Thatcher Hurd, and he let up one run, but they had a late rally, and they won the game late, and they were able to overcome not using their ace. And in the city section, Banning is going to have that similar situation play out. Their best pitcher is Anthony Hoya. He's committed to Cal State Fullerton. Banning has to play Venice on Wednesday, with the winner of that game playing San Pedro on Saturday. San Pedro is really good, so what does Banning do? Do they throw Anthony Hoya, their number one arm, just to get to that second round game, or do they try to save him and pitch him in the second round game? Head coach John Gonzalez has a really tough decision ahead. If I was him, I think I'd try to save Hoya, because I don't think they're beating San Pedro without pitching him, but then of course you run the risk of losing in the first round. And that's why I think these single elimination baseball games are so fun. I know a lot of coaches want to do two out of three, but when it's single elimination, you really have to manage it really correctly. It's everything is on the line. It's really fun how that plays out. I know the baseball purists will hate that take, but I like it because I think every at-bat and every pitch is so, so important, which in baseball, the more significant pitches and the more significant at-bats you can have and the more significant decisions you have to make, I think makes the sport better. So I wanted to end with that. And Bodie, we'll quickly go to you here before we wrap up. Just any pitching matchups or anything you're looking forward to seeing in the first round of the San Diego playoffs?
Yeah, so for baseball down here, open division, we always play double elimination. Yeah. And all the other divisions of 5 through 12 have to do a play-in game. And if you win that, then you enter the whole double elimination format. But one of the ones I'm looking at for this week and really starting today is Mission Hills. I've talked about their outfielder a few times, Quincy Scott. And dating back to last year, he's now got a 33-game hitting streak. It's just incredible. His on-base is .696. And an uncommitted kid, too. I mean, had a couple low football offers. I don't know at this point if what he's focused on or what he would like to do, but it seems like baseball might be the future for him. So they'll get started in the Division II playoffs today, and that's one that I'll be looking for the box scores each game. They start with Otay Ranch today, and then if they can win that, they'll take on La Jolla Country Day tomorrow. But 33 straight games over now two seasons, it's pretty incredible. And I believe 38 would set the record down here. So with all the all-stars and different players that we've had down in San Diego, that's definitely a huge accomplishment.
Awesome. Thank you for that. All right, guys, that was a great podcast. I really appreciate it. Bodie DeSilva, Lance Smith, I'm Connor Morissette. We'll have some championships to talk about next week, and we'll keep doing our thing in San Diego, preparing for those championship games on here. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week. Have a great rest of the week.